Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now. The number is 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. And it's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday we talked about the idea of giving thanks for the ministry opportunities that come our way. And the challenge to our listeners yesterday was simply to sit down and say, Lord, thank you for using me. Mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing people into my life that I could share your love with, that I could tell them about your death, burial, and resurrection. And I think that's so important for us to do is just to realize the wonderful privilege we have of being in God's work or being able to participate in God's work. Paul counted it an incredible privilege. It didn't matter where he was or what his condition was. He always looked for opportunities to tell people about the Lord, whether he was imprisoned, whether he was free. And at the end of the book of Ephesians, he wrote this, pray also for me. He's just talked about this armor, this spiritual armor of God that we're to wear, and we're to wear it because we face an enemy, and it's not just people, it's not flesh and blood, it's against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's where the battle really is. Sometimes we miss that. We think it's with people, but it really goes well beyond that. It's a spiritual battle, so we need to be prepared for that. But in this preparation is always opportunity. That's what we've said time and time again, as we see darkness just overtaking the world in which we live in, as we see more confusion and disorientation and decay in our moral foundations. A lot of times we get fearful of that, but with those very things come opportunities.
Yes.
Why? Because the fears that people have, the things that are deep within start to surface, and they have to deal with it, and they want to know truth. They want to know an answer that can help them experience peace instead of fear, contentment instead of restlessness, those sort of things. So with all of these things, there comes opportunity. So in light of that, Paul says this, pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might declare it fearlessly as I should. That, I think, is a prayer that we should all adopt. Whenever there's opportunity, pray that our mouths will be opened in such a way that we can give words of life to people who are dead in sin, and to give those words fearlessly. There's nothing for us to fear. Absolutely nothing. We have the God of this universe in us and on our side. He is for us, not against us. You can't go into this world with much more confidence than that.
Absolutely. And it's Basic Gospel, everybody. The lines are wide open right now, and if you've had a question you've been holding on to but were for some reason reluctant to pick up the phone, why, we encourage you to pick it up right now. It really doesn't weigh 200 pounds. It's just very light. 844-322-2742. A toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Guys, a question from Ron in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, wants to know the meaning of Hebrews 4:15. How was Jesus tempted yet perfect? He says, I know he was tempted by the devil, but it says he was tempted like us in every way, but without sin. So what is the meaning there of Hebrews 4:15?
That's really a good question. A lot of times we hear people saying, well, God just doesn't know what I feel, or God just doesn't know what I'm experiencing, or Jesus just doesn't understand, you know, where I'm coming from or what this temptation is all about. I remember years ago somebody was having problems in their marriage and met another person, and and they really like this person, and so in liking this person, they stopped liking their mate and decided to divorce, and that was one of the justifications. Well, God just doesn't know how I feel. God just doesn't know how wonderful this relationship is over here and how much better it is than the one that I had. God just doesn't understand those things. Well, that's hogwash.
Yeah,
he understands. He knows exactly who we are. He knows what makes us tick. He built us. He created us. He made us. He knows us better than any single person, even better than ourselves. And Jesus, when he came into this world, he took upon himself flesh and blood. He died. He tasted death so that we could be set free. He experienced everything that we experience, yet was without sin. So when he was led into the wilderness and he was tempted by Satan, those temptations that Satan brought to him cover every single temptation that we're ever going to experience. And yet he never gave in. Now that's, I think, an important thing to note. We give in. So Satan can put pressure on us. The world can put pressure on us. And that pressure can intensify and it can grow. And there's a point where we cave, where we crumble, where we give in to the temptation. Jesus never did that. So the pressures mounted, the pressures intensified. Satan brought everything to bear to try to get Jesus to cave. And yet, with everything that Satan had, Jesus never caved. He always relied upon his Father. He always stood on the truth of the Word of God. He did not sin. So he knows the full extent of Satan's artillery. He knows all the weapons Satan is going to bring to the table, and he defended every single one.
Yeah.
So does he know how we feel? Does he know what we're going through? You better believe it. That's why he's empathetic to us, and that's why we can cast all of our cares upon him, because we know he cares for us. Jesus does know how you feel, and he has a plan so that you can escape the temptations and walk in the fullness of his life each and every day.
Ron, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And we hope that anytime you drop an email to us and you get an answer, that it is a help to you. And if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net. We'll be glad to address your question. And we love getting email questions, so don't hesitate. bob@basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to the Bronx and talk with Franklin, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Franklin.
Hi, how's everybody?
We're doing well. How are you today?
I'm great. My question is regarding Calvinism, and I believe Calvinism being the belief of that God has already chosen the people who are going to be saved and who are not going to be saved from the beginning of time. And the thing about that is that I think that kind of like debunks the fact that we have free will, and that God gave us free will for a reason, so that we can decide within ourselves whether we want to choose Jesus or not. So is the Calvinism belief saying, is that correct or is that incorrect?
Well, Franklin, let's see if we can jump in and talk a little bit about Calvinism and about theology and about how we're saved. The Bible is very clear that we are saved by grace through faith. So this whole salvation thing is of God's initiative. He begins it. He initiates. He reaches out to us. So that's important for us to know. God is seeking us. And this gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is his method of seeking us out, of bringing us into a saving relationship with him. So it is always by grace through faith. Grace is God's initiative. That grace does something inside of us where we respond to it by faith. And when that all is in place, that's when salvation occurs. But this gospel message is for anyone. It goes out all around the world. And so as people respond to that in faith, then they become one of the elect ones, so to speak.
Yeah.
So that's how I see it working, Franklin, is this gospel is the chooser, so to speak. And it touches those who have been humbled. God gives grace to the humble but resists the proud. So as we go through this life tends to humble us. Not all of us. Certainly there's many that are filled with pride. And the more they go through life, even though they're beaten down, even though lots of bad things happen, that intensifies the pride in their heart. That hardens them even more. Well, they're not seeking grace. They're not going to respond to the grace of God. Only those who have been humbled are going to respond to the grace of God. That's when faith will become real to them through that attitude of humility. So it's by grace through faith. And when we respond in faith, that's when our wills become really free. I mean, think about this, Franklin. Before knowing Christ, all we chose was really the ways of this world. We lived to gratify the ways of this world. We were in bondage to sin and death. That's what dominated us. That's what controlled us. And now, by grace through faith, God has rescued us from that. So now we have a real choice. So when it says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, we make that choice to do so. And it's a wonderful and a marvelous thing. But here's the other thing that I think we need to look at as far as Calvinism is concerned, as far as predestination is concerned, as far as God's choosing is concerned. Whenever you read about it in, say, the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3, or Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, it is always within the context of Jews and Gentiles, people groups, not individuals. So note that, Franklin. It's always in light of people groups, all right? So what did God choose? What did he predestine? Well, he predestined that both Jew and Gentile would be made one in Christ. That's what he predestined before the very foundation of this world. He chose that to be the case. We see that in his promise to Abraham, that through your seed the whole world is going to be blessed. That's God's choosing. Now the Jew, they said, how can that be? And to answer that, God said, I'll show mercy to whomever I want to show mercy to. If I show mercy to the Gentile, what's that to you? How can you, as the clay, say something to the potter? If I want to show mercy, I'm going to show mercy. And he is showing mercy to the Gentile world in exactly the same way he showed mercy to the Jewish world. That's what God chose to do, and he chose to do that in Christ. Then he also predestined that we would be conformed to the image of his Son, whether Jew or Gentile. That was all a mystery. And that mystery was revealed to us after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So this whole idea of predestination, if we see it in terms of God choosing both Jew and Gentile to be saved in exactly the same way, and that both Jew and Gentile would then make up the body of Christ, it becomes one of the most unifying theological doctrines and concepts in the Word of God. But if we look at it just on an individual basis, it becomes very divisive. So I say, let's look at the context. Let's see that God was talking about Jew and Gentile and how he was going to reach both of those people groups and bring them together in Christ. Then I think we will get a very good understanding and idea of what predestination is all about. Does that make sense to you, Franklin?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much. I understand that. Yeah, I appreciate you taking my call, and that's a great answer.
Very good. Well, thanks for your call, Franklin. Thanks thanks for asking that question.
Yes.
And I know there's a lot of confusion out there about, you know, what's our part, what's God's part, all of those sort of things. And I think if we can just simplify it to by grace through faith, I think we get a good solid answer there. And then if we put predestination in the context of Jew and Gentile, things really start to clear up. So, Franklin, thanks for calling. Thanks for asking that question. Well, let's go out to Los Angeles and talk to Antoine. Hi, Antoine.
Hey, how you brothers doing?
We're doing great. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too. I had a quick question, a couple of quick ones, but then I'll get to my main one. But how's the audiobook coming? Are you still working on that, or you put on the show?
The audiobook of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace?
Right.
We are working with the publisher on getting those rights released to us, and once all that's taken care of, I think we will move forward with that project. So there are some things in the works on that right now.
Sounds good. I got a patient's problem with reading, so you know sometimes it's easier just to pop on the tape.
But, yeah, I understand.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Hey, do you think that the salvation is as simple as John 3:16, or you think for somebody to be saved, they got to go through a deeper knowledge in order to be saved?
Well, I think all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. Yes. I mean, that's as simple as it is. You know, we're not going to know all the details of what happens to us when we're saved. We're not going to know all the details about, you know, the true character and nature of Jesus. Those are things that we're going to grow into, as Peter said, grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So all we need to know is that Jesus loves us and that he has come to save us. And when we put our full weight of trust on him, that's when salvation occurs. It's that by grace through faith. So that's as simple. Just simply lift up the name of Jesus, lift up the person and work of Jesus, and leave the results in his hands.
So you could be like a little kid, and, you know, once you hear about Jesus and you believe it, that's enough. Huh?
That is enough. And okay. He's going to come and take up residence in that person's life, whether they're 5 years old or whether they're 95 or anywhere in between.
I went to a private school, and I you know, they told me about Jesus a long time ago, but you know, I learned a lot about him as I got older. But I'm like, was I saved back then, or was I saved just when I, you know, learned all about, you know, him being, you know, replacement for my sin and dying on the cross and raising again to give me life, and like, or was it way back then? Was I saved? You know, I'm trying to put a time and a date on it. Yeah.
Well, Antoine, I kind of had that question. I went to a youth camp, and I fully believe that I trusted Christ at that youth camp. But I didn't get a lot of discipleship after that for many, many years. And so I was left to try to figure out how to live the Christian life on my own. I leaned on my own understanding. I tried to look at what other people were doing and emulate that. And I got myself into a mess. But, you know, some years later, I came to a point and said, Lord, you know, something's got to give. I'm just failing at every, you know, on every front as far as this Christian life is concerned. And that's when I started learning about, you know, the full nature of the gospel, that it was more than forgiveness, that Christ had actually come to live inside of me. And things started to change at that moment. But I fully believe that I was saved way back then, because I never doubted that Jesus was the answer. I never tried to go elsewhere to find solutions to my problems. I always knew Jesus was the one. I just didn't know the right questions to ask or the right answers that I was seeking. And finally, it all came together. So I think a lot of times when a kid receives Christ, I think they're genuinely saved. They exercise that childlike faith. And then years later, Maybe they've struggled, but they come to grips with what actually happened to them when they believed in Jesus at a very, very young age.
In my personal experience, I was asked to write my personal testimony. I couldn't do it because I didn't know when I'd come to Christ. I knew something had changed in my life. There were changes that I personally, on a fleshly basis, could not have made. So the suggestion was made to me, ask God to reveal it to you when you came to Christ. And sure enough, you know, I got alone with the Lord, asked him to reveal it to me. He took me right back to the day and time, and it was just the most beautiful thing. So I say, you know, ask God, ask the Lord when you came.
That's good advice right there, Antoine.
Okay.
All right.
I teach the children's church at my church, and, you know, I got these little kids, and, you know, I don't want to put too much on them, but I want them to, you know.
Just keep telling them about Jesus. And,
okay, will do.
Yeah, let me put you on hold. Jeannie Thompson, who has been a longtime receptionist for us and still volunteers with the ministry, she's written some wonderful children's books.
She has.
Let me put you on hold, and we'll give you some information on how to get those, okay? You hang on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good to hear from Antoine calling from Los Angeles.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to William in Queens, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Oh. Hi, William.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going fantastic. How are you?
Better than I deserve.
Well, that's true for all of us, isn't it?
That's right. You guys totally took my question, but it's okay. I just you know, a tiny bit because I know you got to get off the air, but basically with me, you know, I noticed that a lot of people were giving their testimony about how they realized they were a sinner and that they needed to cry out to the Lord, and they did, and then God saved them. And, you know, I was troubled because of that, because my testimony wasn't like that. You know, I didn't grow up in the church. I was invited one time, and the preacher just started talking about how life withers away, you know, just like the grass. And then he started focusing on Christ, on how Christ is forever. He lasts forever. And at one point in his sermon, I just believed in God for the first time in my life. Like, the scales came off. And, you know, changes started taking them, you know, in my life, in my heart. You know, the things of God that I wanted nothing to do with, you know, I was thirsty for his word, other Christians, which I didn't like. You know, I was drawn to them. And so, you know, looking back, I was like, well, I didn't know I was a sinner until like about 2.5 years after that. You know, and I've grown in grace. You know, I've grown in holiness only by the grace of God. And so I just wanted to, I would like for you to, you know, shine some light on that. And you did already, though.
Well, thanks, William. You know, the real problem of man is that we're dead. We're spiritually dead. And that manifests itself in a number of ways. The fact that we feel an emptiness, a restlessness inside. We know that something's deeply wrong with us. And that's what the gospel answers. And that's where new birth is so vitally important. Because in that new birth, we're made fully alive in Christ. And Christ comes to live inside of us. And then his spirit begins to teach us. And to start to mature us and to grow us in our faith in Jesus. And it's the most marvelous adventure we can ever experience in life. So, William, thanks for...
If I could add one thing before I get off. You know, I do feel for people that were saved at a younger age, because sometimes, you know, they don't have much to compare their rebirth to. You know, I was saved at 26, so the change in my life was really radical. And I was able to tell that I really came to Christ.
Yeah, you saw right before your eyes the going from death to life. One moment you were dead, and the next moment you were alive in Christ. And, you know, guys, here at Basic Gospel, our hope and prayer for people is simply this, that they live fully alive in Jesus and fully controlled by his spirit and his very love living inside of them.
Absolutely. William, great to hear from you, friend, and I hope you'll keep listening and call again. Friends, for a gift of any amount this month, we're going to send you a copy of our study guide, The New Covenant Journey. And we're studying through it each Friday, and tomorrow we'll be doing it as well. So claim your copy and support the ministry at the same time by clicking donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742. Well, thanks for being with us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for the teaching edition of Basic Gospel.